Wednesday evening, 9/27/23. We're going to look at naming and mapping the powers, and this is going to be part six.
Happy birthday, Lindy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the twins were the 18th, Mady's 17th, and yours the hit 29th. Okay. No, not yet. All right. The power of intercession is what we will look at today. Back on 1/10/22, you had this word. Danny had this word. When my church is in order, I can restore the government system of law and order, justice for everyone. But first, I must lay the right foundation in my church. Then my church's power and authority will be restored in the land. No longer only a few operating my kingdom in America. So pray for my intercessors to be raised up in the church. They will pray in my will for restoration to divine order. The raising up and recognition of the offices of apostles and prophets. Things will change quickly once this happens. So for strategic level spiritual warfare to happen, we must have intercessory prayer. That's how it's going to happen. This is a, you know, in the Old Testament, they went in naturally and scattered out the land. And that's the way our military does things, in the natural. But the church, this is a spiritual thing. We have to do it by the Spirit. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity, yeah, to Christ. So this is a spiritual endeavor. Doesn't mean the Lord won't require us maybe to do some natural things in it, but we need to get the plan from Him. That's why the intercessory prayer. And that's why the Lord said, you know, how is good, how, unless we map it out and take out, how can the kingdom advance? It can't. All right. For strategic level spiritual warfare to happen, we must have intercessory prayer. This praying is to be focused on the kingdom of God and its advancement. That's the prayer that we're praying, is we want to advance the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, the violent take it by force. That's Matthew 11:12. So we forcefully have to break through and break through strongholds that have captivated our nation and the whole world. That's the natural battle we see working here. But they need us behind the scenes. I watched a documentary today, and it was about the truth about UFOs. And it's the same one that the one I send out, that this man, he's talking to his commanding officer, and they're, you know, talking about these phenomena that they're seeing in the skies. And they've been going on for a long time. And trying to guess what they are, or is it us, you know, what has the government hid from us? What have they done? Or is it all just America? Is it just our military doing this? Or is it something else? Well, this particular man, he said, he went to his commanding officer and he said, well, it's not ours. In other words, it's not our, this is not our craft, our intelligence, our anything. And he said, okay, sir, then what is it? Is it foreign? Another country? No, it's not. He said, well, sir, what are you telling me here? And he said, well, have you read your Bible lately? Now, this is a higher up. Have you read your Bible lately? He said, they're demonics, and we don't want you to mess with them. Because they've been seeing these weird things, cubes within spheres, and all these jet pilots deal with this every time they go up. And they're not just there all the time. This one pilot, he said, they are there all the time. I was thinking, well, but this has been going on since the 1800s anyway. So what are these things? These are demonic entities, and they're playing games. They're doing their thing. That's what Blue Book was all about back in the day. Project Blue Book is when they started having all of these things. This time in history that were considered, I think, the last of the last days, they started to see this kind of phenomena. And even our government knows what they are. So, they can't do anything. They said they have technology we can't even touch. He said he saw one go 63 miles in 30 seconds. There it is, and boom, they tracked it. He said, we can't compete with this. We think it's a national security risk here. No, we're dealing with the devil here, and him and his minions we have to take out. It's the church's responsibility to do this. A lot of the church don't know this at this time. But it's my prayer that God has raised up, just like we've been saying, we've been speaking for a while, that he would raise up an army of intercessors, those that do know what they're doing, those that do hear God's voice. Just like Joshua had to go in and take the land, so do we. These ites have to come down. Same bunch, same group. All right. This prayer here, Ephesians 6. And in this advancement of the kingdom, we can have no personal agendas. We have to hear what the Spirit says, right? Not our own idea or what we think or what sounds good, but what he specifically says that the battle plan should be and how we should pray. Okay? All right. Jealousy here. I wrote this. Jealousy can be a very destructive force against the advancement of God's plan. You know, when I was reading some of the stuff by C. Peter Wagner, he talked about, and we see this, we've been in this church message many times where it's a thing where if I'm not recognized or I'm not getting the credit that I think ought to be getting, the jealousy thing, the thing tries to creep in and start causing the, you know, what happened to us in the gym was a prayer group gone rogue. They weren't praying for me as a leader. They just wanted to pick out faults because they didn't like what they were hearing or whatever the case may be. It was completely wrong. And what did it do? It just destroyed. So this is kind of the, you know, we got one mind on this. That's how a military moves. They all get the same plans from the commander-in-chief, and they all advance forward as a team to do what they're doing. So that's the way it should be in the spirit realm also, especially. You think the devil doesn't work strategically? Absolutely. All right. Ephesians 6. 18 and 20 here. And you know how we can do this? Is when, well, you know when you sit down to pray in the Spirit, you know when you fall asleep or whatever, you're not making a connection. But you know when you make a connection because someone will come to your mind or something will come to your mind and you're real intent and you're locked in on it, right? All right, that's when you know you've made your connection with the Spirit. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, he's saying, pray for me. See, we don't just pray for our government leaders. We need to pray for church leaders. See, I think they always thought all in authority meant those in the White House and those, you know, in the state legislature and all that. No, that's also for spiritual leaders. I'd say especially for spiritual leaders. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm telling you, the mystery of the gospel is hidden today. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he's depending on the body of Christ to do their part as he goes in, and he had to suffer the things he suffered for the cause. All right, now go to Colossians chapter 4. Right here, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So this is a serious matter that the Lord's asked of us, a serious matter. All right, as we follow the Holy Spirit, we'll be protected when we do spiritual warfare, like casting out devils, etc. All right, one of the keys here, what I quote over and over, and I'm going to tell it on TV when I teach again, the fact that you hear His plan, but you wait for the command. You can know what He wants you to do. You know He wants you to take down strongholds and speak to things and change things, but we have to have the specifics on that. We know, we've learned, you don't just go around rebuking and binding and loosing just with no cause. I mean, it's just like Paul said, I'm not going to just beat the air. We want it to be with purpose, so every time we aim to, you know, that when we fire, we hit the target, right? All right. Timing is everything. We do not need prayers without power. Where we go one, we go all. Isn't that the MAGA team, the Trump team, the Jesus team? Right. That's the goal. Where we go one, we go all. The more people we can get on the same page, going in the same direction, the better off we'll be. All right. We pray as one and hook up as one voice in the Spirit. I want to read something to you. This is Acts chapter 4. This one, the other day when I was getting this ready, I was thinking about, Lord, thank you for hooking up churches in the Permian with us to pray. That's what we need. Yeah. All right. Acts 4. Verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a bunch. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which means he was made whole, back in chapter 3, you know, he was at the temple and he got healed. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." And they're in the spirit. And this is what they're saying. "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great graces upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Does this sound like one body, one band, one sound? Where we go one, we go all? "And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." My main focus here is the prayer focus. As they lifted up their voice, this is what they were saying in the spirit. All right. Let's go to Ecclesiastes right quick, chapter 4. All saying the same thing, not everybody. See, the problem with what happened to this fellowship in the beginning was what they were doing was unsanctioned. All right, Ecclesiastes 4:9. You know, you can pray your thing and I can pray my thing, but how much better is it when we've got... That's why we have the petitions that we do, so we can stay in line with one another when we're speaking, we're praying. You know, a lot of times you're praying and things will come to you to speak. All right, it says here, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. How can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's kind of like you bond to, or whatever that word was, with the little kids, you know? Let's just share it all together instead of one getting the prize and everybody else gets left out. You know, our country's geared that way. You know, just think about sports. One gets the prize and everybody else is out in the dark. All right, Matthew 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the doors we need opening are the doors we need closed. Yeah. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. I say who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Gathered together in his name. That could be prayer, right? All right. Let us be careful to not just rattle off stuff. You know, let's be led by the Spirit. Because Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God. That's the only way we can. We don't end up like the seven sons of Sceva, do we? Thinking they know what they're doing and they don't have a clue what they're doing. Well, I'm going to go do what they did. But you know what? They didn't take the time to pray and get the plan like Paul did. Yeah, Paul knew what he was doing. All right, I want to look at the prophet Elijah for a moment. He was Old Testament, but he had a plan. All right, this is 1 Kings 17. Where is my Kings? Did I rip it off too? Well, I meant the tab. I must have. Oh, it's folded over. There it is. We're all kings.
That's right.
Kings and priests. All right, this is 1 Kings 17. Right here. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So what happened? God told him, put sanctions on him. Sanctions. Kind of like with Pharaoh. Well, if you don't do this, then, you know, the frogs are coming, and then the lice are coming, and then, all the stuff that happened, all the plagues. What was that? What was God doing there when he told Moses to go in before Pharaoh and say, well, if you don't do this, tomorrow you're going to have hell with fire? Sanctions. What do sanctions do? We ought to know this by what President Trump has done. It puts pressure. What's God trying to get this evil, wicked leader to do? Turn. Turn back to him. Okay. All right. Look at 18 now. We're going to start with 17. Get our drink. From what I understand, that rain, it didn't rain for 3.5 years, or that's what it says over in James. All right. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I mean, he's taking the blame like Trump's taking the blame, but who's really putting the sanctions on? God. Yep. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Does this sound familiar? Baal. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord follow him, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Yeah, it seems like we're the only ones, doesn't it? Because everywhere you listen, they are messed up, even the Christians. And I'm going, dear Lord, how are we going to get this done? Then let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. He better be hearing from God. That's all I got to say. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves. Now God has given him this plan. He's not just talking off the top of his head. Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or a preventer, he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. There's the blood sacrifice they do. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Been away from God a long time, huh? And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And when with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. The water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, or the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God! Isn't that the goal? And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. They had the military tribunal right there. Think about it. Was it Elijah also with the 50 and the fire consumed them? Is that Elijah or Elisha? When they had several companies of 50 and he sent the fire of God and God consumed them. See, the people were just led astray, and the people turned, their hearts turned back to God. But the Baal worshipers, the leaders, they didn't get away. None of them are going to get away. They didn't then, they're not going to now. Worshiping the same God. All right, let's go on down. All right, God lifted the drought. After the prophets of Baal were taken out, it began to rain. All right, let's see here, 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. I'm thinking, if he had been doing that in himself, why would he be afraid of Jezebel? If he wasn't afraid of the prophets of Baal is because he had instructions from God to do that. Now he's running for his life. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." I think we're going to find out all the things that we go through because of what God's called us to do. We're going to find out the angels are just helping us out the whole time. We just didn't realize it. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. Sometimes you're just aware, you just want to go to bed. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. I said, "Give me some of that." And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" Feeling sorry for yourself, huh? And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." In other words, "Lord, haven't I done everything you ask of me? What now?" Have you ever done that? I have. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He's just depressed. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." And it came to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So even though we feel like we're just out here in old, dry, dirty West Texas, and we're just by ourselves, there's no telling. There's a lot more than 7,000, I'm sure, that God has been working behind the scenes just like he has with us, doing the same things that we've been doing. And one day we'll see the profit of that. We'll see it. I believe it. All right. 2 Kings 2. So when you start getting weary, kind of feeling down and all that things, you know, because you just get, like I said, I heard somebody the other day say, they were talking to that Jan Halper Hayes, or some, I think it was her, just saying, you know, people are so weary. And they're about to even the Christians, they're ready to give up on this thing because it's just taken so long. And because when the white hats are lying to you and the black hats, what are you going to do? There's so much disinformation. They won't come out and tell us anything. I'm thinking, how are we supposed to trust the plan? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to trust God. That's all I can say. This is His plan. This is His operation, and He won't let us down. So we got to look to God, not to man. Maybe that's the purpose of that. All right. 2 Kings 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood in view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets which were in view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Where were they? They're standing off to see what's going to happen. All right. Let's pick up with Matthew 17 now. Elijah got his reward for what he did, his faithfulness to God. He passed that mantle to Elisha. I think Elisha probably did some more spectacular, not so spectacular, but just a lot more things. He was just a different type of prophet. All right, Matthew 17. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So I wanted y'all to see that in the scriptures. He's also in the book of James. Let's go look at James. He wasn't forsaken or forgotten, was he? Neither will we be. All right, 17 of 5, James 5. Elisha was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He was a man with a plan, God's plan. All right, God's people, or God is calling his people to have strategic level warfare plans before you pray. Not just pray to pray, but ask the Lord, okay, Lord. And then when you pray, ask him, what am I saying, Lord? What am I saying? Just like in Acts, they were all in one accord praying, probably all in the room praying in tongues. Wouldn't you like to know? I would. Revelation 2:7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we want our ears to be tuned into what the Spirit is saying and what he would have us do. We were talking about the dealership that we're dealing with. We're used to going to a place that they just got their ducks in a row, and so this place needs some help. And so we were saying, Lord, what do you want us to do here? And because all I'm seeing is stuff I don't like. And this morning, the Lord just said, from now on, you say what you want about this place, because I'm sent you there to change that place, not just locally, but corporately, from the top down. Because you got to take it all out, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So we need to hear what the Spirit's saying to us about these matters, all right? Okay. Under the Holy Spirit's influence, I believe you are to call in churches to take up this vigil with us. Hold churches interceding for the same cause of the kingdom. Just think how much easier it would be. Maybe this will be the next step in this ministry. Getting people on board. Now, every day I speak for Mike and C.K. Thompson in Las Vegas. And so as the Lord brings people to mind, you know, because we do speak his petition. So I pray the Lord's prayer with them. I said, Lord, I agree with them today for this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the United States for America, in Nevada, in Texas, and the United States for America as it is in heaven. Huh?